going to jump right into the Word of God on today. Listen, for those of you that have been following along with us, we've been in this series on Rediscover, and this week we're talking about intimacy with God, the discipline of prayer. You know, we had four sermons where we went through what was the gospel and how grace is found in the gospel, and now we're in the series, in the part of the series, talking about growing in grace, in the grace of God. And Pastor Alf came 2 weeks ago and told us about living by the Spirit, and gave us, ended his sermon with the great revelation for some people and reminder that God lives inside of us, that the powerful God that we serve by his Spirit lives on the inside of us. And because he lives on the inside of us, great things can happen in our lives. Amen. And of those things that look impossible, or those difficult situations, or those things that we think we may never be able to overcome, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And as the scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That Spirit lives on the inside of us. So Pastor Alf came and talked to us about that. And then last week, Pastor Dwayne started this portion of our series talking about intimacy with God, and it was the discipline of devotion, where he talked about the intimacy that we find in reading God's word, the word of God, which is powerful, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, the word that's inspired, the word that can give us instruction for our lives, and the fact that we have God's word. We can hear what he's saying to us and read what he said to people in the past and understand what he wants us to be. The discipline of devotion is something that all of us should be doing. Here we go. So you should be reading your Bible more than on Sundays when you come to Level Ground. Those of you on Zoom that I can't look into your eyes, wait a minute, is the camera on? No, they're seeing this screen probably right now. They're seeing me. Y'all need to reach. Fussing at people. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to grow closer to God, because as we get closer to God, he will instruct us on what to do with these lives that he's given to us. We find that in the Word of God. We find that through devotion, and we find intimacy with God through this discipline of prayer. And we say this word discipline, and I'm going to steal one of Pastor Dwayne's slides from last week that he used. Whenever we talk about the word discipline, it say, when you hear the word, what definitions and feelings come to mind? And if you all remember, some of those words that we gave out were pretty harsh, like discipline. Who wants to be disciplined? Who wants to go on a diet? Who wants to go through the Daniel fast right now? Sister Gidney laughs as Pastor Dwayne groans in the back, as we talk about the discipline of dieting, or the discipline of working out, or the discipline of limiting our time on the internet, or this discipline that we have to study for our tests in medical school so that we could make a good grade and continue the calling that God has given to us. Anything that we call a discipline is going to take work. So Brother Jonathan gave us the praise report of the great grade that he got on his exam, but nobody can look at what he did and said, oh, he was lollygagging and he wasn't studying and he was relaxing and he wasn't putting any time into stuff. No, disciplined he was as he went through that time to get to the point where he took the exam, passed the exam, and now he moves forward with what God has for him. And that's what our spiritual lives are all about. It's about being disciplined. So we're going to talk up today about this discipline of prayer. And again, listen, maybe it's just me, but praying is hard work. That when it's time, I'm going to use myself for an example. When it's time for me to go out and work out in the gym for an hour all day, I'm good. Y'all want to go run? Alessio, want to go run? He's like, not with you. Not yet, but eventually. Anytime it's time for me to work out, I'm on it an hour, ride a bike, 2 hours, go out on a trail run, 2-3 hours. But when it comes time to pray, it happened last night. Got on my knees, prayed. So I'm going to spend about 30 minutes in prayer. And within 5 minutes, one song on the Spotify, on the Rhapsody, and I woke up and I was like, oh, I fell asleep already while I'm trying to pray and spend time with the Lord, because this discipline of prayer is difficult and is really difficult. And the thing about it that is amazing is that prayer is so powerful, but it's so neglected. I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about myself. It's so powerful. It's an avenue where we can talk to God and hear from God and get answers from God and instructions on how we should live our lives. But so many times we find other things that distract us, or things that we want to do, and we spend more time doing that when God is just sitting up in heaven saying, talk to me. Talk to me. So let's get a definition. I'm not going to really use the whiteboard today, but we're going to talk back and forth. I'm going to repeat what you guys say. Let's get a definition of prayer as we get started. What is prayer? Let's just get that out of the way up front so that we all have an understanding what we're talking about. What is prayer? Talking to God. Ms. Francis, you said talking to God. Jelly, what you say? A conversation between you and God. Something simple like that. Anyone else? What is prayer? Giving thanks. You and God, giving thanks to God. This, when I was in the seminary, we took a class called Spiritual Formation, and we went through these spiritual disciplines, and one of the books we went through was A Celebration of Discipline. Another book that I have by Donald Whitney is Spiritual Disciplines in the Christian Life. It says this: of all the spiritual disciplines, listen to this, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. And so you go through this book and that book, and you see all of these other disciplines. It talks about meditation, and it talks about evangelism, and it talks about journaling and all these different things. But whenever you really look at this discipline of prayer, you see that it's the thing that ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. And the issue with that is this: although we have the opportunity to commune with God and to spend time with Him, too many times people look for substitutes to fulfill their life. So God's sitting up in heaven saying, talk to me, I want to talk to you, I want to talk back to you. And we find ourselves going through situations, and instead of going and talking to God, sometimes we look for fulfillment in life in relationships. That if I get this person in my life, then everything's gonna be okay. Not understanding that when you get that person in your life, sometimes they bring more problems. I get no amens to that. Nobody wants to amen that. Other people I've talked to say you prayed or listened, or you sought after this woman or this man to be in your life. You say, when I get him or when I get her in my life, God, then I'm going to get back with you and commune with you. And you find you have more problems, and then you really start praying after they get in your life, because you should have been praying first of all, and then God would have directed you to that man or that woman. Stop meddling, Pastor Taylor. People look for substitutes instead of prayer. There are hobbies that people do, like I talk about working out or going fishing or taking up some kind of sport as something that's going to fulfill them. And God is saying, talk to me. Talk to me. I've given you this tool of prayer. Just spend time with me. People look for fulfillment on their job. And if I can just get to this level on my job or get this promotion, then I'll feel okay, not knowing that this level brings more problems, and this level brings more problems, and the more problems it brings, it draws us further and further away from God. So it gives us more worry and gives us more anxiety and gives us more stress, not understanding that God is sitting up in heaven and saying, hey, I'm right here to relieve you of all of that stress. But things, we look for things to fulfill us when God is saying prayer is the thing that you need to do. And if we call ourselves Christ followers, then we should mimic what Jesus did. If we're little Christians, if like Christians, little Christ, if we're following after him and trying to be like him, then if you read your Bible, you will see that when Jesus had time, he spent time with the Father. Jesus had to pray. Jesus had to spend time in prayer, and you go to John 17 and you read the scripture where Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And in John 17, first he glorifies God, then he prays for his disciples, and listen, then he prays for all of us. Three different portions of scripture where he's glorifying God, praying for his disciples at the time, and then he's praying for us because he knows what we're going to have to go through and what we're going to have to deal with in life. And so Jesus found himself praying to God all the time, not just in John 17. Listen, whenever he was in trouble and he was about to go to the cross, he said this, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So Jesus found himself in the most difficult part of life, where he's about to die and be separated from God and bear all of our sins on his back. And he still found time to pray and commune with God. And the thing that baffles my mind is when Christians or followers of Christ say, "I'm going through a really difficult time right now, Pastor Taylor, but I'm not going to pray and I'm not going to church. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to spend time with God because I just need to be by myself." The absolute worst thing you can do when you find yourself in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you find yourself about to go through a life-threatening situation where the doctor's giving you a bad report, or you got a financial report that doesn't look good, or one of your relatives is straying away from the faith, or you find yourself in a difficult situation, "I'm not going to be able to handle this on my own." That's not the time to leave God. That's the time to get on your knees and say, "I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee." So Jesus did that whenever he was about to die. And in John 17, we see it. And when they're on the boat another time, the disciples are going across the sea, and Jesus goes off to be with the Father. All these times where he got away and he spent time with the Lord. So if Jesus prayed, if Jesus spent time with the Father, I think that's a clear indication that we need to be doing the same thing. And so we say, okay, I want to be like Jesus, Pastor Taylor, but how do we do it? First of all, we don't do it this way. Jesus, if you've been going through your book, you'll see some scripture where it talks about in the book. Go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. It talks about how there's a way that we should not be praying. And Jesus was actually criticizing people for praying like this. He says this, "And when you pray, I'd be like the hypocrites." Has anybody ever been called a hypocrite and felt good about it? Or you heard the word hypocrite and you said, "Oh, that's a good thing. Somebody's a hypocrite today." No. Jesus said, don't be like the two-faced people. Don't be like the false people, the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus said this, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Have you ever heard anyone pray and you said this? "Oh, they praying for people. They're praying so that people could hear what they're saying. They're not praying to God." So none of y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to give you a little example. I come from a religious background to where the person that could elaborate the best while they was praying and could emphasize their voice a little more while they was praying, or maybe get the organ going while they was praying and get people up in a tizzy running around the church, then people would say this, "Ooh, he prayed today." And I would say to myself, "He prayed to y'all, but he didn't pray to God." Because the Bible says whenever you pray, you need to be doing that in secret. You need to be doing that talking to me and not so that other people can hear you. Listen, you need to be trying to impress God and not other people. And how do you impress God? With a humble heart, with a heart that goes after him, and not trying to show off, not babbling in the streets, not standing on the street corner so others can see you, not doing things so that people could pat you on the back and say, "Pastor Taylor, you really prayed today. You did a great job." But God sitting up in heaven and said, "I heard none of that." God says that whenever you pray, whenever you do it the right way, look at what verse 6 says, "Then the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And I want God's reward more than man's reward. So this is the way he says, do not pray. Go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. He say, but this is the way you do pray. This is the way that I want you to pray. I want us to read this all together, and we're going to continue in our service. Verse 9 says this, this then is how you should pray. Come on, God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This portion of scripture in some circles is known as the Lord's Prayer, and other places it's called the disciples' prayer. But Jesus gives this template on how his people should be praying as they come before the Father, as they come before him and actually talk to him, because again, he understands there's going to be hindrances, there's going to be distractions, because understand that the devil knows how important prayer is. And if the devil understands how important prayer is, we should embrace that as well. That Satan knows when we talk to God, whenever we line up with his will, whenever we're communing with him, whenever we find ourselves in a good place in prayer and actually understanding who God is and what he's called us to be, then he has no power over our lives. So the devil will send distractions to stop you from praying. He will make you sleepy to stop you from praying. And at that point, we need to be disciplined and keep doing it. So when I woke up last night after I fell asleep, y'all see the pastor fell asleep while he was praying, right? After I fell asleep, guess what I did? Started praying again and actually focused even more on the scripture, on the sermon that I was going to be preaching today, to actually spend time with God, because it's a discipline and we have to make sure that we're doing it. So we're looking at how Jesus said we should pray in this great tool that we have called prayer. This is just an example of how we should pray. Amen. So you will hear certain pastors or certain theologians say, every time you pray, you have to pray this way, because this is the way Jesus said to pray. This is how you should pray. Jesus is saying, use this as an example. Use this as a template. Use this as a way to talk to me. And there are different portions in this prayer that I want to talk about today that we can use in our own personal prayers as we talk to the Father. So Jesus said, this is the way that you should pray. Go to number one, Pastor Dwayne. When you look at this, it gives us a chance to praise God. So whether you know it or not, praise is not just for Sunday mornings or for the first two or three or four songs when we come into this building. And then when you leave the church Monday through Saturday, there's no other praise going on. There's no other form of worship going on. Every day we should be finding a way to praise God. And this way we can do it through prayer. He says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So I've heard people say, so why do we need to praise God, Pastor Taylor? Why does God need our praise, or does God want our praise, or is that something we should be excited about? And only thing I can think about is this, he deserves our praise. That if you didn't know it or not, you didn't wake yourself up this morning. That when we got up out of bed and got on our two feet and breathed the breath of life, or breathed oxygen into these lungs and then exhaled carbon dioxide, that's nothing that I've done of my own. God allowed that to happen. And so God is worthy of praise. And too often, here we go, people think that I'm here of my own strength and my own intellect, and I'm doing everything on my own, not understanding that if not for the grace of God, you'd be in the grave this morning. And so praise is what God deserves. Praise is something that we should love to do, because again, whenever you think about it, for all that God has done in the future, in the past, the only reason why I'm here today is because of his faithfulness, not mine's. The only reason why we're sitting here today and other people who we may have gone to school with who aren't here anymore, or people we may have worked with in the past, they aren't here anymore, or there are people who we've run the streets with doing bad things in the past, and they're not here anymore, but I'm still here today simply by the grace of God, God deserves my praise. So people say, Pastor Taylor, you often cry when you're up here on the keyboard or whenever we're singing or whatever, and they always think that it's something wrong whenever I'm crying, and they just don't understand. That's tears of joy, if you didn't know. That's a praise that's coming out of my eyes because I realize that I am here today because of what God has done. And again, it's only by his grace that I'm understanding who he is and trying to win other people over. That's why I praise God. That's why tears come down my face. That's why I'm a little more expressive over here than other people. I say, does it take all that, Pastor Taylor? The yelling and the screaming and the jumping and the clapping and all that other stuff. God deserves my praise. And listen to this. I'm going to praise God more than anything else in my life. So I'm never will you find me more excited about doing something like working out or going to a Saints game. Oh, I'm about to mess with people. Or going to a parade or going to anything in New Orleans. You'll never see me as excited as I am to praise the Lord. Because listen, the Lord is the only one who woke me up this morning. The Lord is the only one who's given me a way to make it to heaven one day. God is the only one who provides everything that I need. God deserves my praise. And so this scripture starts out, and Jesus in this template of prayer to the Father starts it out by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Y'all heard the old joke about the kid that said, Howard be your name? He's like, what are you saying? He's like, oh, I thought God's name was Howard, because every time we pray, yeah, y'all will get it a little later on. Take some time in your life, saints of God, to praise God. You say, I don't have a voice like Chris Tomlin. I don't have a voice like Lauren Daigle. I don't have a voice like Donnie McClurkin or like Yolanda Adam. God wants to hear your voice. God wants you to praise him. God wants you to spend some time praising him. And as you praise him, I guarantee you, you'll feel better. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what you're going through, if you just take time to praise God, as the scripture starts out and says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so this first portion of the scripture talks about how we can praise God. The second one that we can focus upon is this, God's providence. A big word in our lesson on today. But when you think about God's providence, it only means this, God's way of doing things. So this scripture says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, and in the King James Version, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a powerful portion of scripture because this is what you're saying. You're saying, not only do I want your kingdom to come, Jesus, come back, make everything right on this earth so that there's no more sin and all the other stuff. You're also saying this, whatever's in heaven right now, that's what I want to see on earth right now. So let me ask you this, is there any war and sickness and death and people fighting and all of that in heaven right now? You got to think about it like, wait, is there war? I got to admit, are there any bad things in heaven right now? Let's make it simple for you all. So if everything's good up there, if there's peace and there's joy up there and everybody does things the way that God wants it done up there, that's what we're praying to happen here on earth. And people say, Pastor Taylor, you can't pray that because things are going to be bad until Jesus comes back. That doesn't stop me from praying for things to get better on this earth. So if you find your loved one who's sick or going through a difficult time or maybe they're straying away from God, you don't just say, oh, are they going to figure it out on their own? You say like, no, I'm praying for my spouse. I'm praying for my child. I'm praying for my relative that doesn't know the Lord, that they will come to know God and have the joy on the inside the same way that I have it and the same way that they have it in heaven right now. The scripture says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in terms of salvation, I want to see everyone saved down here on earth, just like everybody is saved in heaven right now. But Pastor Taylor, when you talk about Calvinism and Arminianism and certain people being chosen and others not being chosen, doesn't that mean that some people can't be saved and that they're not? You know, I'm not getting into that with you. This is what I do know. I know that the scripture says this, it's God's will that all men be saved. You parse that any kind of way, you break that down in the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever, say whatever you want to say. God's will is that all men be saved. That doesn't mean that they will be saved, but his will is that everyone will be saved. So I'm praying the same way that people are saved already in heaven, that it'll happen down here. Oh, there are some people that are just too bad. There are some people that aren't interested in what you're saying, Pastor Taylor. There are some people that are listening to this recording maybe a month or so from now that don't want to have anything to do with God. And I'm still praying this: God, save them in their sin. That the same way that there are atheists in the past who didn't believe in God or didn't think that God existed, or agnostics who didn't want to have anything to do with God, who are now preaching the word of God and getting other people saved, that's the prayer that I'm praying right now. So the person that looks like they are the furthest off from the gospel, I'm saying this: God's going to win them. God's going to bring them into the kingdom, and that person is going to be preaching the gospel one day. That's why we need to be praying for our kids. That's why we need to be praying for our relatives. Listen, that's why you need to be praying for your enemies. Oh, messing with people again, Anthonika. I shared with Miss Francis yesterday that one of the guys I went to Bible college with, you know, he's ranting and raving, and I don't know your political views or anything, but we got on the subject about politics, and they're talking about what's going on with Trump. Is he going to get arrested and all this other stuff? And then it got on. He started talking about the mayor, Mayor Cantrell, and she needs to be put out of office and all of these charges and blah, 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 blah. And I just stopped and I say, are you more concerned about these people being saved or going to jail? And he stopped. He said, I know what you're doing. He said, I know what you're trying to do. I said, just answer the question. Are you more concerned about these people being saved or that some kind of justice will happen down here? And eventually he said, yes, we want to see them saved. And that's what I'm saying today, is that in our hearts, it doesn't matter how bad people are. It doesn't matter what they've done. We should be praying this: God, save that person. Let salvation come into their lives so that they can understand who you are the same way that I know who you are. That's God. Listen, God's providence, his way of doing things, let that happen in their life as well. Go to the next one, Pastor Duane. So you see, we see praise, we see providence, and hopefully all of us can agree with this. We see provision in this prayer. That Jesus said that, give us today our daily bread. And so there's this theological concept called the doctrine of first mention in the Bible, the first time a concept is mentioned in the Bible. And when you talk about God as provider, whenever you talk about the first time it was mentioned in the Bible, anybody know where that is in the Bible? Miss Francis, of course, she's going to be the first one to answer every time. Thank you, Miss. In Genesis, where God said this, Abraham said, on this mount, Jehovah Jireh will provide. Whole scenario, here we go. God told Abraham, take Isaac, go up to the mountain, sacrifice him on the mountain that I'm gonna show you, and do that because I'm telling you to do it. And the Bible say that Abraham took Isaac, went to go do it, and as they got up there, as Abraham, he was like, well, I don't know if Abraham was really gonna do it. Read your Bible and it say, as Abraham drew his hand back to actually stab and sacrifice his son, God said this: don't sacrifice your son. There's a ram caught in the thicket. And in the thicket, that ram, I say that was a mighty quiet ram. In the thicket, that ram actually was the substitute. And Abraham said, today God has provided what I need. And Jesus says this: give us today our daily bread. That doesn't mean we don't think about the future and what's going to happen in the future, but this is what you do. Every day you get on your knees and you say this: God, thank you for providing what I need today. That as I get ready to step out of this house and go to work or be with these students or go on my job, Miss Loretta, as you go on your job, Jelly, as you go to school, Miss Francis, as you're in your community, Alessio, as you're on the campus with your university students, you're saying this: God, provide what I need today. And that gives us the opportunity to trust God today for the things we need today. And guess what you get to do tomorrow? Pray the same prayer. That today, God, I need you to provide what I need. That today I trust you to give me my food, to give me a provisions, to keep the lights on in my house, to give me the wisdom to take care of my kids, to actually do what you've called me to do. And today I trust you to be my God. So Jesus says this, give us today our daily bread. And the next one you go to in this prayer, it's a pardon. When you think about pardon, I want you to think about this, that this is a term for forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This concept of pardon, it's like a forgiveness for a wrongdoing. We see it in the criminal justice system when people have done something wrong and they get a pardon from the president, that means they're forgiven for what they've done and they get to leave regardless of what they've done. That's the pardon that they receive. And God actually forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who are forgiven our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Listen, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And this portion of scripture, if you're not careful, you'll start to think that maybe you don't need forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you, none of us have a right to think that way. That at some point in our life, we've done something against God or against other people to where we need forgiveness. I'll say this, I need forgiveness on a daily basis. So you're talking about this, the last portion that we talked about, where it talked about providing and you saying, give us this day our daily bread. I'm like, give me this day your forgiveness, Lord. That something's going to happen to where there's going to be a bad thought that comes in your mind or a bad gesture that you make towards someone else. And we need God's forgiveness. Okay, if you don't think you need God's forgiveness, think about this. The mere fact that Jesus forgave us after we put him on the cross. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, Brother Jonathan. I didn't put Jesus on the cross. I didn't put the nails in his hand. I didn't put it in his ankles. We put him on the cross because he was bearing our sins on his back on the cross. And Jesus said this, forgive these people for they don't know what they're doing. But he's also saying this, forgive us for the things that we're going to do today. And if Jesus can forgive us for what we've done, then there's no reason for us to harbor unforgiveness or bitterness on the inside. I'll even say this. No reason for us to harbor this poison on the inside. I heard a commentator say this. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else die. While you're holding on to this bitterness, this unforgiveness, this ought towards somebody else, and you're thinking it's going to hurt them, and they're going on about their life, and they're not even worried about you. Listen, we need to be those people who forgive us. God forgave us our debts. He forgave us our trespasses. He forgave us our sins. So we also ought to forgive those who have trespassed against us. So this is my challenge to you today. Think about this. Is there someone in your life who you're holding unforgiveness against? Someone who's done something to you in the past where you say, I can never forgive them for this. I can never forgive them for that. I can't get past it. The Bible tells us this, that God forgave us. We should forgive them. And maybe this person is in your head right now as I'm speaking. This is God telling you, you need to make things right with them today. You need to seek them out today and actually make things right next year. I say it today. You'll feel a lot better if you make things right today. And so we've gone through praise, we've gone through providence, we've gone through provision, now we've gone through pardon. And this last portion of this scripture that we get to see is this, God's protection. What Jesus says is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This portion of prayer is great as we get to ask God to deliver us from anything the devil tries to do. But as I was getting this sermon together earlier this week, this concept jumped out at me as I was concluding things. We got to make sure we're not putting ourselves in the place of temptation. Let me say that again. We need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in the place of temptation. Well, Pastor Taylor, this girl, I heard from my friends, all this girl is just so cute, and I just can't resist myself whenever I get around her, and I tell them, don't get around her. Maybe you need somebody else with you whenever you get around. I just can't resist whenever I'm around. I just feel like things just need to happen. And I'm like, stop putting yourself in that position. And I say, oh, well, God gave us the formula right here. He's going to deliver us from the evil one. Maybe you're the evil one. Maybe you're putting yourself in this position. If you know that the temptation is over there, and you keep going towards the temptation, and you feel, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go over there. You don't need to be alone with this person. You don't need to be alone with this thing. And you keep putting yourself in that situation, then whenever you fall, whose fault is it? Maybe we're the culprit here. And we need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in the place of temptation. The good thing about this portion of scripture is this: even whenever we're following God, temptations will come. If you didn't know, you think I'm saved right now and all's well. I'm following the Lord, so everything's well, Pastor Alf. We're doing what the Lord said, so I'm not going to be tempted to do anything or to tell anybody the wrong thing. God is with me. God is before me. God walks with me. He's on my side, and you're about to curse somebody out because they cut you off in traffic. And you're like, no, I wouldn't do that, Pastor Taylor. Look how hard Will laughing, y'all. That although we're saved, although the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, temptations will always come because the enemy is always going to try to distract us from following God. And in the midst of those temptations coming, we have a deliverer. We have a God who we serve who can deliver us out of that predicament. And even whenever Jesus was tempted, he didn't give in. He didn't sin because God picked him up out of that situation. He was strong enough to resist the temptation. So never tell yourself this: I can't fight temptation. I can't overcome this. If Jesus could do it in his time of fasting, whenever the devil was tempting him with those three temptations, you can resist as well. So Jesus goes through this portion of scripture and he talks about how we should be praising God and recognizing God's providence and actually thanking him for his forgiveness and for providing for us and for protecting us. Last slide, Pastor Dwayne. And this little word, intimacy with God. Think about this. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God, you know, unfortunately, intimacy has gotten kind of twisted in our world today, and people put all kind of negative connotations on it. But intimacy with God is actually getting close with God, actually getting into his presence. Listen, actually knowing that God is with you no matter where you find yourself in life. That this intimacy that we're calling for with God as we pray and we ask him to intervene in our lives and actually direct us and lead us, there can come a point to where you're so close with God, you know that all things are going to work together for your good. You know that no matter where you find yourself today, that this bad situation is going to work out for good because I'm just that close to God. I have a relationship with him. I know when he's speaking, I could speak to him, and I know that he hears me whenever I speak to him. But in terms of intimacy, listen, it's hard to be intimate with somebody if you're not spending time with them. In your own life, if you're married and you're trying to be intimate with your spouse, then it's kind of hard to be intimate if there's a big separation between you. It's kind of hard to be intimate if there's no communication happening between you and your spouse. With your kids, if you're trying to be intimate with them and being close with them, if there's no communication and there's no fellowship and there's no spending time with them, then it's going to be hard to cultivate that intimacy. It's not just going to happen, as they say, organically if you're not being disciplined and putting in the hard work to grow closer to God. So I'll just say this: how are we going to be intimate with God, level ground, if we're not talking to him? You say, why are we talking about prayer, Pastor Taylor? Why are we talking about these concepts? Pastor Alf talked about living by the Spirit. Pastor Dwayne talked about getting in the Word. Today we're talking about prayer, and I know about all of that, but if we know about it, why are we not doing it? If this avenue that where God said, if you ask, I'm going to answer. If you seek, you're going to find me. If you knock, the door is going to be open. And God is saying, if you do that, I'm going to provide everything you need. And we say, I'm going to pray later. It's a discipline that we all need to work on. And listen, maybe I'm up here preaching this today, so whenever you leave here today, you can grab the hand of your spouse or of your kids or of your loved one, or even go on your job and pray with your coworkers and cultivate a life of prayer, knowing that God hears me whenever I speak. So if this situation that I'm praying about lines up with God's will, it will be done in Jesus' name. That again, those obstacles in your life, those hardships, those hindrances that the enemy has put in front of you, we need to have faith to understand that I'm going to pray, take this to my God, and I'm going to believe that he's going to take care of it. And listen, as we develop that intimacy, we know that God's going to answer us. We know that he's going to move on our behalf. Let's make prayer our number one priority. I told you out of all of the disciplines in this book, great, great disciplines in this book, a whole bunch of them. But if we get on our face, if we get on our knees, if we get before God and actually pray to him, even while you're driving down the street, cut the radio off and just spend time in prayer to God, I guarantee you he will speak to you. And those things that seem so difficult, that loved one that seems like they're never coming back to the faith, that job that looks like it's not going to get better, that health situation that you're going through that you don't know how to handle, the future where you don't know how things are going to be provided for in the future. If we pray, God will give us a peace and he'll say this, I will provide. Didn't I take care of you 10 years ago when you thought you weren't going to make it? Didn't I take care of you throughout the pandemic? Didn't I take care of you when Hurricane Ida hit? Didn't I take care of you through all the craziness that's going on in our world? And if he did it before, God can do it again. But it's up to us to pray. Jesus prayed. Jesus was intimate with God. Jesus actually saw prayer as a discipline. And he did it on a regular basis. And that's what I'm calling for us to do individually in our individual lives. Also as a church, that when we pray like we did today in group prayer, we're getting together to find out what's going on and to, you know, laugh and have a great time as we get ready to pray. But I want us to believe that God's about to move in this situation that we're praying about. Oh, I don't know if this may be too big for God. The God that made the earth, the God that stepped out on nothing and made everything, then this little financial problem that you're talking about, God can take care of that. This health problem that the doctor told you about, God can take care of that. This grade that you need for this test, Jonathan, God can take care of that. This future decision that needs to be made, God can take care of that. But God's sitting up in heaven like, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for you to pray. I'm just waiting for you to call on me. And I will answer you. And as the Bible says, show you great and mighty things. Call on God and he will show. He told the people back in Jeremiah, I will show you great and mighty things you don't even understand. I believe God will do that for us today if we will be disciplined and actually devote our time to praying to our God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for who you are. And God, as we talked about praising you today and God recognizing your providence, God, we realize that you've provided for us and you've pardoned our sins. And God, you constantly make a way for us. God, you're a protector. God, we pray that what we've talked about today will become reality in our lives. God, that prayer will be the first thing we turn to whenever we're in need. God, we won't complain. God, we won't doubt. God, we won't look to other people or other things to fulfill us. God, we will pray to you, the God of all gods, almighty God. We pray to you on today for our church. And God, as we get ready to conclude this service, God, we thank you for what you're going to do. These situations that we're dealing with right now that some people may not even know about, God, we pray that you will move in a mighty way. God, we thank you for testimonies and God, encouraging words that will come from what you're going to do, God, not years and years down the line. I believe this week, God, you're going to move for your glory and on our behalf. And God, when it happens, let us point all glory to you and to thank you for what you have done. God, we praise you on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.